So it might involve what they were practicing jhana.
You mean clenching teeth?
Yeah.
With gusla or agusla?
With gusla, yes.
Clenching teeth?
I mean, if someone was practicing jhana and he was having disturbing thoughts, and in order to continue with the practice...
Yeah, I was under the impression that this sutta and some others are related to how bhikkhu can stop sliding back to the lay life, so that if there are distracting thoughts that may otherwise lead to breach of their rules, then these
anyway, panya is the most important thing, not just clenching teeth.
Buddha would never teach to just clench teeth without understanding.
I think that he showed many ways to suppress the agusla, that's all.
Mm-hmm. For anyone see the value of abstaining from agusla at that moment.
If that person has accumulation to do that, it's all right. But if that person does not have accumulation to clench, it's all right. Not clenching.
But in any case, during those instances, it would be kusala on the level of samatha.
There must be doing with kusala, with understanding.
Not necessarily anything to do with samatha.
Samatha is kusala moment.
Okay. I mentioned hearing an Ottapapa before when it came to jealousy and stinginess, and you talk about the level, why the level of hearing an Ottapapa or Sotapanna has to be higher than now, because there's no wrong view of self.
Before becoming a Sotapanna, there must be hearing Ottapapa of not understanding reality which appears. So whenever any type of kusala cittas arises, it means that there must be hiri ottapa. Even there is no one who feel that way, but hiri ottapa have arisen by conditions with all kusala and sopana cittas. Because you see that those who are not sotapanna does have hiri ottapa at level of sotapanna. So it means that sotapanna can have more hiri ottapa by seeing the danger of agusla.
Right. So is it just more by seeing the danger of agusla, or is it more by
understanding
the conditioned dhammas and their characteristics as not self? By understanding, for example, that the dosa is not self, why in itself does that make the hiri ottapa stronger?
By nature.
Dhammanicchana is an aspect of kanti, patience. Can you explain a bit about this? Because the translation given is reflective acceptance of the Dhamma.
To see the use of kanti.
What about the aspect of it, of reflective acceptance of the teachings, or intellectual acceptance of those parts of the teachings that haven't yet been directly experienced? Because we talk about understanding what's directly experienced, but yet there needs to be a lot of patience.
Because when one studies, one knows that he taught us to be as much wholesome as one can. So shouldn't we follow his teachings, or just read and not follow?
Yeah, but wholesome is just one aspect. What about the part about understanding the realities now?
Understanding is also wholesome. So we have to follow all steps.
It's all wholesome. So can we say that there's no acceptance without understanding? How can one accept without understanding?
Those who can observe five precepts without understanding, or eight or more without understanding.
So you're saying that it's understanding the value of any kusala, even those aspects that are not yet
understood. With understanding, not just follow like a must.
Mm-hmm. And I think what Sarah was asking, is that the acceptance of...
It depends on who accepts. The one who understands or the one who does not understand, but just accept. Like accepting 5 precepts or 8 precepts.
Right. Most Buddhists, on one level, accept the importance of the 5 precepts.
Accept as much as they understand. The usefulness of sila, the usefulness of samadhi, but not the usefulness of understanding realities as they are, because they don't know.
So it refers to the kanti involved in accepting the value of kusala according to one's understanding. Mm-hmm. So if one reads, for example, some more details in the text, or one appreciates the value even if it's not really understood, is this anything to do with patient accepting?
Patient to further on developing understanding.
So patient, pariyati,
with understanding. Because pariyati doesn't mean only just reading or reciting.
Understanding.
Only understanding can be pariyati.
So if one reads, you know, some details in some commentary which are really beyond what one can appreciate, then one can't say
so
this.
So one understands that it's beyond one's...
Right. That is the pariyati in that moment. Because sometimes it's easy for people to think that, oh, pariyati, you know, refers to intellectual understanding. That means, oh, understands all this detail or how many jitas or something. But that's just can be just thinking about numbers and details. It's not.
But that is not the intellectual understanding.
Right. So what is the intellectual?
The understanding what the teaching is about.
This. At this moment.
Yeah.
At this moment. I think it has to refer to this moment.
What can we know?
So a person who is trying so hard to understand concepts without referring to the moment, present moment, which might be itself, you know, then he's not really understanding.
The understanding of reality at this moment can help one to know how much one understands Dhamma or how little one understands Dhamma.
If there's no understanding at any level, and it's just rote, oh yeah, okay, taking 5 precepts by rote, then can we just say that that's then becomes sila patta paramasa, right?
Sila patta paramasa is the practice of the way which is not the way, leading to become enlightened.
So how is that different if you just
no understanding at all?
Just no understanding.
Not. Even just the misunderstanding of the practice.
Oh, okay.
But not knowing anything.
Which is worse, not knowing anything or...
I was about to ask.
Or doing something you think is practice, but it's wrong.
You can see that the very dangerous reality is wrong view.
Can I ask about dukkha, please?
Yes.
And dukkha as a characteristic of all conditioned dhammas, and dukkha as the in the 4 noble truths, dukkha as the first noble truth, seems to me that the two don't mean quite the same thing, or they are discussing different aspects of dukkha.
Is the dukkha of sankhara dhamma noble or not?
Not noble, no.
No? Okay, let me say that in other words.
What
yeah.
The
dukkha, the arising and falling away of reality,
mm-hmm.
is real or not real?
It's real.
Is it satcha? Is it satcha?
Yes.
It is, but it's not ariya satcha as long as that person hasn't experienced it. Experience,
right.
Okay. Until that person has become a sotapanna.
But there is an appreciation on the level of
understanding.
Yeah. I mean, the correct intellectual
mm-hmm.
understanding.
Yeah. To condition the moment of
practice.
Being aware. Yeah.
So one can say the truth is the same, it's just a question of whether it's being
experienced
or
not.
Realized.
The characteristic is the same.
The characteristic is the same. When we say that all conditioned dhammas are anicca, dukkha, anatta, that is a talking about dukkha as a characteristic of sankhara dhammas.
Right.
Right. When we say that the first noble truth is the noble truth of suffering, and it talks about birth, aging, disease, old age, death, in short, the five khandhas are suffering, doesn't it refer to
all sankhara dhamma.
So when in the commentary it says birth in itself is not dukkha, it means that because it's referring to all sankhara dhammas, so is that why it says, because in the suttas we read all birth, old age, death, in short, the five khandhas, but then the commentary says, well, birth in itself is not...
Or death itself.
Death in itself, yeah. It means not just birth, not just death.
Because it will condition other dukkha later.
So condition other, so it means. And often when you're talking about the different kinds of dukkha, we talk about in terms of feeling, unpleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, and then the third meaning we talk about
indifferent
feeling. And we know that, okay, well, feelings play a great part in life, but because the third meaning is referring to all sankhara dhammas, so...
And also indifferent feeling. So there are two meanings of sankhara dukkha.
Right.
When we talk about the feeling, we talk about the indifferent feeling, which is different from the two.
All sankhara dhammas.
And sankhara dhamma, all sankhara dhamma is sankhara dukkha.
I mean, I can understand, like the first meaning, why unpleasant feeling is emphasized, but why, when referring to sankhara dhamma, why emphasize indifferent feeling?
Because indifferent feeling is not unpleasant feeling. But all of them are sankhara dukkha.
Even indifferent feeling.
So what you're saying is the reason it mentions indifferent feeling is just to show all feelings included.
And to know that they are different, the pleasant and the unpleasant and the indifferent feelings. All of them are feeling, but they are different.
Why not say all feelings? Why say indifferent feeling?
If we can understand just by a few words, like all feeling, that's enough. Yeah, but since that's not enough, so we speak more about different kind of feeling.
So we could actually say all feeling, including indifferent.
If one can understand that, just that can be understood for all. But since someone might need more explanation or talking about different kind of feelings.
I'm sorry, when you say it, talk about, in this context, the two meanings of sankhara dukkha, is that what you said?
The indifferent feeling is sankhara dukkha, and all conditioned realities are sankhara dukkha too.
Okay, so the first in terms of feelings, and the second in terms of all realities.
Just going back to my earlier question about dukkha as a characteristic of sankhara dhammas, and dukkha is the first noble truth. If we were to say all sankhara dhammas have the characteristic of being of dukkha, is that then the same statement as the first noble truth of suffering? Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, in short, the five.
Yeah, but it doesn't include the Lokuttara Citta, because no one can be aware and develop the understanding of the Lokuttara Citta while Lokuttara Citta hasn't arisen yet. So if we just understand realities, there is no need to say this or that, like without this or accept that, because we have the understanding about realities which appears. But when we read Tipitaka, the commentary pointed out what are the tukha satya, except the Lokuttara, things like that. But we understand before that, that since the Lokottara citta does not arise, how can there be awareness of it?
But at the same time, the noble truth of suffering must also be realized. So they must be somewhat different aspects of the same thing.
When we talk about the first noble truth, we talk about the three characteristics.
The
impermanence, which is dukkha and anatta. It doesn't mean that when one has experienced the anicca lakkhana, one doesn't have any understanding about anitta and dukkha.
And this has to do with accumulations?
Right.
What aspect?
The development of satipatthana will bring more understanding of the accumulation. Because even sati itself cannot be induced to this or that object at all. Otherwise, that cannot eradicate the idea of self, as long as there is I who can do that.
When we, like you say, when there is understanding, the first noble truth is not just dukkha, it's also understanding the nitya and anatta. So when reality is understood as dukkha, it's also understood as anicca and anatta.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So why even bother to mention these different
aspects? One at a time, by accumulation.
And the same when we read about a faith follower, sadhanum sari, and a dhammanum sari, a dhamma follower. Can one just say the same? It just depends on the accumulation, what cittas are predominant at which time. Yeah. I mean, so of it course just, it doesn't mean one eye has a lot of faith or one has a lot of understanding. It just depends on the predominance at that moment, at that moment. And, like now, there may be predominance of sadha, and next moment there may be predominance of...
Or it shows the different accumulation of the Aryans.
So the predominance in the moment is dictated by accumulations?
Because citta arises only one at a time.
Can one say, as writers often say, that it's different ways or different approaches, or just better say...
One way,
different
accumulation.
I mean, if there's a predominance of sadha, there must be... strong panya too. And
To me, I think that I don't mind at all about all those names, because lots of accumulation, and Buddha just told us to understand the difference between different accumulations.
I offer something to Betty, but if beforehand there's attachment to the object and afterwards there is regret, then the results will be weaker. Is this because the actual moments of kusala themselves are weaker, or is it because the moments of akusala sandwiching it in either side will affect the outcome?
Can you say both?
Both.
Otherwise, we'll need scale.
But how can the akusala that follows affect the one?
Akusala is akusala, so the vipaka of akusala must be akusala vipaka.
The one that follows.
But the one that follows does not affect the one that came before.
Can.
Akusala.
Can affect the result of that?
The result.
I mean,
anything
it will produce its own result, for
that
sure.
It can affect the result of the. Bhavanga citta is a pleasant feeling. We can't know, and it's useless to speculate, and no one has any idea about the Bhavanga cittas. But can we say that Bhavanga cittas with pleasant feeling manifest as an overall happy sort of person in life? Can one say that it affects what the appearance one has? Like we see people who are always happy. Can one say that it's...
We can imagine, but we cannot tell for sure.
Because according to the commentary of the Abhidhamma Sangha, it says that the causes of happiness include the desirable object, Bhavanga Chittas,